in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Thank you for joining us as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism. This morning, we're looking at question 22, how did Christ, the Son of God, become man? So, question 20, we dealt with the covenant of grace being made with Christ as the means for those, for the elect, to be delivered by God from the estate of sin and misery. In question 21, we looked at the identity of Christ, and today we're dealing with the issue of the incarnation. How did Christ, being the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who was and continues to be the eternal God, become man? So that it's not that, as some heretics suggest, God picked a man and said, eh, he's pretty good. No, this was God, the Son, eternal Son, who took on flesh. How did Christ, being the Son of God, become man? Christ, the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born of her, yet without sin. And so that's what, in the early church, you have several heresies. You have, I mentioned Docetism yesterday, he appears to be man. You have others that where he basically takes on, you know, possesses a human body, but isn't truly that person. So that's why two early heresies were monothelitism, one will, and monophysitism, one essence. Both of them deny the essential reality of Christ's humanity. He is true God, true man. Christ, being the Son of God, became man by taking to himself a true body. It's not a robot, it's not anything else, and a reasonable soul, a true human soul. And so that's why when Christ said he thirsted, he thirsted. And, you know, he who is impassible, immutable, unchangeable, took on the changeability of humanity. And this is part of the mystery of the incarnation. But emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. You know, he entrusted his dignity to the Father during the incarnation, but he did not give up his essence. He could not. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And so, Christ took on a true body and reasonable soul. Not later in life inhabiting some dude. No, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And so, that's, you know, the Spirit of God came over Mary. It was not a sexual act, though there was true procreation. And so, Jesus was born of her. So he was born by special generation, but normal birth. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. You therefore will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born of you will be called Holy, the Son of God. Because the true Son of God, the eternal Son of God, was conceived as a man in her womb. Now, baby, you get that. But as in, he was a man, not a woman. He was a true man. Yet he is without sin. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So Paul there in 2 Corinthians is talking about Christ taking to himself our sins on the cross. That's why Luther calls Christ the greatest sinner ever, because he bore not just his, you know, one person's sins, but the sins of all the elect on the cross. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So he's faced every species of temptation that is given to men, but he did not sin. He did not succumb. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. And so Christ, being the Son of God, became man, taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul, being conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary and born of her, yet without sin. All of this describes the fullness of the incarnation. It's that apt summary of what Scripture teaches about Christ and what you are to believe about Christ, that he, as our Redeemer, entered into true humanity. Thank you for joining us, and join us next time as we continue our look at the Shorter Catechism. Thank you, and God bless.